anything else. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Do remember these different ones and pray for one another. Our Lord, we bow to you today. We thank you for the privilege of being able to come to you. We pray, dear Lord, that you would help now in this time that we have together as we open the word of the Lord. We do pray for those that are sick. We pray, Lord, for those that have needs in their life. We pray for folks that are out of town, those that are in different locations, different places. We pray you give them safety. And then, Lord, we do pray for our missionaries. We pray you'd be with each one of them and ask you, Lord, to bless their ministries, wherever it might be, whatever the ministry might be pertaining to, that you would bless that. And the bottom line is that we desire people to come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And so, Lord, we come to you tonight thanking you for your grace to us and your love shown to us. And we ask God now for your mercy as we deal with the things that's around in this world in which we live. And we pray that you'd forgive us of our sins. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And do pray for my voice. It's making another change, and so it's not doing as well. I go to the doctor in a couple of weeks and try to make some kind of decision on what what to do. And so just remember that. And it's worse tonight than it's been. And I don't think it's the cold. It just does what it wants to do most of the time. But here we are in a cold night. And glad that we can be in a warm house and thank the Lord for what he given to us and the needs that are prevalent in everyone's one's life. I want to just take a few minutes tonight and notice some things in the Scripture about the kind of people that the Lord uses. I've heard people say, and I'm sure you've heard people say, the Lord could never use me. My background, what I used to be, the Lord wouldn't be able to use me because of that. But the Scripture is full of people that certainly are not perfect in their backgrounds, and people that have a lot of baggage, as we call it, to carry with them. But yet the Lord used them greatly in the ministry. And so I just want to thank tonight just for a few minutes and think about how that God uses what we would call peculiar people or strange people, sometimes different people. And he can use us where we are. He can use us the way we are. And so very glad of that. So in our reading tonight, Matthew chapter number 3. In Matthew chapter number 3, we'll be reading about a man called John. And certainly, John was a different individual. The Bible says the law and the prophets were until John. And so, according to that, John is the last prophet that would be considered of the Lord. And John is that intermediary type person that bridges the gap between Old Testament and New Testament. The prophets was of the Old Testament and preachers of the New, and John fulfilled both of those particular offices. But let's read tonight, beginning in verse number 1. It says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loin, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come? bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. And think you not, say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. And for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to rise up children unto Abraham. Our record here begins with the ministry of the man called John, and he's called John the Baptist. Because he was a baptizer. He came out of the wilderness, he came preaching, and there's a lot of strange things about John the Baptist. Most of us would not let him behind our pulpit. He had a lot of strange things about him, but he was called of God. And he is called great. The Bible says in Matthew 11:11, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. And so that's a pretty high standard that the Lord gave unto John, and said there's not anybody that's been born of woman that's any greater than John the Baptist. He had a great testimony, had a great message, had a great ministry, and the Lord, out of his ministry, took his disciples and built the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was not. Surely we can understand reading these these words. He was not the typical preacher. He was not the typical prophet. No doubt in his day he would have been called a strange individual. And he had a lot of strange things about him. But yet God used him, and God placed him in a position that he would prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that one that came preaching repentance as a different message than they had heard. And so he came preaching, and people believed and followed. But when it came to the religious crowd, he said, "You're a generation of vipers." And he said, "I'm not going to baptize you till you show me fruit of your repentance." So John had a strange home, a domain in which he lived. The Bible says he came out of the wilderness. He came out of the wild of the wilderness. He had a strange message, especially for those religious people of his day, the scribes and the Pharisees. He called them vipers. He called them snakes. He said, "You're a generation of vipers." And that's the same group that the Lord dealt with in Matthew also, that he called them scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And the Lord scathed them and told them all the things that they had wrong with them. But John came preaching and declaring that they had to repent. And that was a different message. That was a message that had not been given up until this point. And that's why John is that person that is bridging the gap between Old Testament and New Testament. And he began preaching the repentance toward God. And John had a strange way of dressing, camel's hair and a leather girdle. He looked different. He sounded different. He acted different. He was different, and of course he had a different diet, locusts and wild honey. And I don't know why the Lord gives us all the details about John other than he wants us to know that he is a different individual. I'm sure when John came on the scene, he stood out. I'm sure he looked different, acted different, and as the Scripture gives us, had a message that those folks had never heard. But in the ministry of John the Baptist, he gathered a multitude of people that followed him, and he was pointing the way to the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, John preaching on the banks of the Jordan, he sees Jesus coming, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." That was his message, that the Lamb was coming, that the Messiah was prevalent and was there. And so when he sees him, he declares that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. There's little doubt that we could say whether John was used of the Lord or not, for we know he was used. And as much as he stood out in the crowd, as much as he was different, God chose him, God used him in a special way and a special ministry that nobody else had before, and certainly no one else has had after that. And the Lord has had some strange preachers. The Scripture tells us of a lot of different things that reveal the message to the people of the Lord. Back in the book of Genesis, chapter number 8, God used a dove to show that Noah could now come out of the ark. And so he used that strange messenger. He used a donkey to preach to rebuke Balaam there in the book of Numbers, chapter 22. God used a rooster to preach to repentance to Peter. So God can use anything He wants to use. He can use an animal. He can use a person. And He can use an individual as strange and awkward looking, maybe, as John the Baptist. But I want us to just think of the kind of people that the Lord can use. God can use a person, and thank God He can use people that have a sinful past. And a lot of times the devil will come to us and he'll make us think we are not usable of God or useful to the Lord because of the past that we have. But the good thing about it, the Lord says, I've forgotten your past, I've forgiven your sin, and I made you a new creature in Christ. And so no matter what we were, thank God we are different in through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I thought of four or five people here that would go through pretty rapidly, pretty quickly. God used Moses. And we think of Moses as a great man of God in the Old Testament, and he was. But Moses had a stain on his life. Moses was a murderer. He killed an Egyptian. He had to go to the backside of the desert for 40 years because of that, because of the fear of the Egyptians had placed upon Moses. Moses was afraid that he would be destroyed because he had killed that Egyptian wrongfully. And so we would consider Moses as a murderer or guilty of manslaughter. He had that in his past. But it's also Moses that God gave to him so many of the revelation of the Old Testament. God gave to him the commandments. God gave to him the privilege of writing the first five books of the Bible, which is called the Pentateuch. And so Moses is a great character of the Old Testament, but he has a flaw. He's a sinner. You and I, we, no matter how good we are and how much we do, no matter how much we can progress in our life, we are still nothing but sinners saved by the grace of God. When we had Brother Tom's funeral, they had the song, I'm Just a Sinner Saved by Grace. And that's one of Tom's favorite songs. And I don't know how many times he told me, he said, Brother Richardson, he said, that's all that I have. That's all that any of us have. We're just sinners saved by grace. And thank the Lord tonight, the grace of the Lord's been given to us and shown to us. And it doesn't matter what's in our past, God can still use us in the work of the Lord. Moses used of God tremendously. Moses is one of the names that the Jewish people still name their children. And Moshe, that is Moses, and they still look back to him. But yet he had a past that was not as good as maybe it could have been. And he was a man that was guilty of killing another man for no particular reason. So God uses people even in their sins. God uses people even though of our past. I think not only of Moses, but I think of David. David was used of the Lord in spite of his moral failure. And we know the story of David. If it wasn't for that one blight on David, we would have a glowing story of a man called of God, used of God, and God still said he was a man after his own heart. And so, doesn't matter where we find ourselves, doesn't matter what we find in our past, God can use us. And of course, David became the greatest king that Israel had, and he will continue to be the greatest until the Lord Jesus Christ sits on the throne of David and rules from Jerusalem over this world. And so God can use people like John the Baptist that had a different message, had a different mannerism, different dress, different diet. And God can use people that has a past that maybe is not as good as it could be. I think in the Old Testament also, we have a book by the name of Hosea. And he was used of the Lord in spite of his family life, in spite of his wife. Ought to read that book and study it because she left him and because of his work of the Lord, and yet God still blessed him. Then in the New Testament, we have the Apostle Paul, in spite of mistreating, in spite of probably literally being personally involved in the killing, and we know the stoning of Stephen, he was there, and he held the coats of those that were doing the stoning. He gave his approval upon that. He goes to Damascus with orders with him to capture Christians and to put them in jail and even to kill them. And of course, we know in spite of his mistreating the Christians, God still used him greatly, and probably not a greater preacher anywhere and missionary anywhere that has ever lived. And Paul refers back to that in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 12. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. And Paul says here, I thank Jesus Christ, our Lord, who hath enabled me and that counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul realized he was in the ministry because God had placed him there. All of us are where God desires for us to be and wants us to be. And if we're used of the Lord, we realize that we are being enabled of the Lord. There's nothing we can do on our own. There's nothing we do by ourselves. And so Paul says, I thank Jesus Christ who hath enabled me and counted me faithful. Paul had been a very unfaithful man, but now he, in his heart, he says, I'm glad and thankful that the Lord counted me faithful. And then he says, putting me into the ministry, or literally thrusting him into the ministry. Now notice in verse 13 of these next few verses, Paul tells us what he was. He said, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came unto the world to save sinners, and Paul says, of whom I am chief. Paul recognized his position. He recognized that God had placed him into the ministry. God had enabled him. God had called him. God had given him the ability to do things that nobody else had done before and has not accomplished what Paul did afterward. But he said, I before was a blasphemer. He said, before that, I was injurious to folks. He said, I was a persecutor. He persecuted the church of the Lord. And that day on the road to Damascus, when Jesus met him, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why are you persecuting me? And Paul, Saul, thought that he was doing his religion a favor. He was a zealous Jew. He was a Pharisee. He goes on and gives us testimony in another book that he writes. He says, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a sinner of sinners. He was a chief of sinners. But yet the Lord gave him ability. Yet the Lord gave him faithful ministry of preaching the gospel. And he said, I had it given to me because I obtained mercy. I'm glad the Lord uses us no matter what our past is. No matter what we find ourselves and remembering in our heart of what it is, God can use any Christian that's available. We don't have to be able, we just need to be available. We don't have to have outstanding credentials. I don't think I'd care about having the credentials that these four men had. We don't have to have those things in our life, but God can use us where we are and the position that we're in. Not only does he use a person with a sinful past, but he uses a person that has a strange personality. I've met some strange people, and I have met some really strange preachers, very different in a lot of ways. But God uses them where they are. God places them in a position, in a place, and God gives them a people. Elijah, he loved controversy. He said, if God be God, then we're going to serve God. If he's not, then we're going to serve Baal. And so Elijah was very vocal and very forceful in his attitude toward the Lord. And he loved He desired to go to battle. Elijah's that fiery prophet of the Old Testament, and he would battle everywhere he went. And God used him, even though that was his personality. I find that God used Jonah, and Jonah didn't have any compassion at all. Jonah just didn't care. God said, Jonah, you go down to Nineveh. There's a great city there. And, of course, we know the story. Jonah went the other direction, and God had to put him through the ordeal of the being swallowed of the whale and spit upon the dry ground. God came to him the second time and gave him the same instructions. And then when he went there, the multitude of people came to know God, and Jonah was upset about it. He said, I knew if you sent me here, they would repent. And so he had no compassion. He had no zeal about him to help other people. But yet God used him and his mouth and his testimony to save an entire city. So Elijah was a controversial person. Jonah was a non-compassionate person. And Peter, at times, was a coward. Even though he was very vocal, Peter was that one that's always talking, always making a statement. But when it come down to the time of turning and recognizing the Lord, Peter was fearful, and he denied even knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that he swore, and he put out he was cursing at those that would ask him. And so Peter was not as much as he thought he would be, was not as great as he thought he was. He said, Lord, I'll never leave you. He said, they may leave you, but I'm not going to leave you. And the Lord warned him and said, careful, before the night's over, you're going to deny me on that three times. And so God can use us, and I'm so glad, because somewhere in our life, we can find ourselves like Moses. We can find ourselves like David. We can find ourselves like Hosea. We can find ourselves like Paul. We can find our attitude like Elijah. Sometimes we can even find our attitude like Jonah, just not caring. And sometimes we're just a coward to stand like Peter. But God still used them, and they are given to us in the eternal Word of God, never to be forgotten, always there for people to read about their life and how the Lord used them. Turn over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. I read these verses not too long ago. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, here's the type of people that God used, very simple people. We don't have to be renowned, we don't have to be wise. We don't have to be smart. We just have to be usable. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 26, Paul writes to the Corinthian church, a very worldly church as it was at that time. He says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, the things which are despised. Hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things which are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. The foolish, the weak, God uses those kind. Paul told these people at Corinth, he said, we realize that not many wise men have been called. He said, we need to realize that not many mighty men have been called, not many noble men have been called. But God has chosen the foolish. God has chosen the weak. God has chosen what the world would throw away and not use and not think it's usable. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound or to confuse the wise. They think they have wisdom, but they've forgotten God, and so therefore in their hearts, their minds, they become vain in their imaginations. And God uses the simple things. God uses the simple people, foolish enough to depend upon God for wisdom. That's what a child of God really ought to be, just foolish enough to believe God. Just foolish enough as far as the world is concerned that we believe what the Scripture says, that we believe what the Word of God says, and we're just going to depend upon the Lord. The world thinks that's strange. The world thinks that's foolishness and in other in other ways we realize and we know that it is the wisdom of the Lord. So He uses the foolish according to the world. As far as the world is concerned, He uses the weak, to confound those that have strength. He uses the base things in order to give honor to the Lord. We know base things are very lowly. But He uses those type of people to give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ and to His God. He uses men really that has nothing so that they can give their everything unto the Lord. So God can use strange, different people. God can use the simple. God can use those that would not be wise in the world's eyes. God uses those that even have sins in their past. And who of us tonight don't fall in that category in our past? But God will use anybody, preacher, layman, I don't like those terms, but God will use a preacher or an everyday child of God, Christian. God will use that individual who will stand and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what we've done, who we are, where we're going, all those things. God will use us if we stand and proclaim and preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, you don't have to be a preacher to preach. You don't have to be ordained to preach. We're all called to be a witness. We're all called to be a proclaimer of the truth. Three things, and this will close. Three things why God or how God will use anybody if they will proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, His manual has to be the Scripture. His manual has to be the Word of God. We don't preach books. We don't preach things. We preach the Word of God. We proclaim the message of the Lord that's found in the covers of this book that we call Holy Bible. And so anybody that will use the Word of God, God can use them. And even God can use people that we might not agree with on all their things. But the Lord said if they're not against us, then we don't fight them. And the disciples had a problem with that group that didn't do everything. And the Lord says they're on our side. And as long as people will use the Scripture, use that as our manual, that's our workshop. And that's the Scripture that God gives to us. More importantly than anything else, any other book that we could ever have is the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul says to Timothy, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. And here's what preaching the Word of God will do. It will reprove, it will rebuke, it will exhort with long-suffering and doctrine. The Word of God does all those things with the same message. You do not have to preach a reproval, a reproving message for God to use it to reprove us. I've heard people get under conviction about their life and certain things that was going on in their life, and the preacher never mentioned a thing about that, but God used the Word of God to reprove them of what they were doing. We have to use the Scripture, and we don't have to have a rebuking message. Now, sometimes we do. Sometimes it's in order, but sometimes any message that we preach, sometimes we'll rebuke people, and God uses it, and God translates it to their heart, and the Holy Spirit convinces them, convicts them, and that message that might be on love might rebuke them in their life. And then it says exhort, or to build up, with long-suffering, and very important, and very, very unused today, but it's very important that we build up ourselves, we exhort each other, long-suffering, and with doctrine. Doctrine does matter. What we believe is important. What this book tells us and where we stand is important. Some folks say, well, we don't preach any doctrine. We don't preach any teaching. We don't give any particular You have to preach. Whatever you preach is a doctrine. Whatever you proclaim is your doctrine. And here Timothy is given instruction from Paul. He says, you preach the word, and it will rebuke. It will bring a reproving, and it will exhort. But it has to be with long-suffering and with truth, the doctrine of the Word of God. So our manual must be the Scripture. Number two, our message, first priority, our message is the Savior. We can preach about a lot of things, but we better preach Him. We can preach about a lot of different subjects and a lot of different ways that's given to us in the Bible, but the number one message of any person that is trying to give forth the work of the Lord and the Word of God, whether it be a preacher, whether it be a deacon, whether it be a Sunday school teacher, whether it be an individual, whether it be a middle-aged, old, or even teenager, we must give the message of the Savior, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the number one message, or we have no message at all. And then thirdly, our motive, and here's where a lot of folks get in trouble, our motive should be salvation of sinners. It ought to be to bring the message of salvation to a person just like me, sinner. To a person maybe that's just like Moses. Maybe he is guilty of taking someone's life. Maybe he's like David. Maybe he has committed those immoral acts. But the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so our motive is to bring salvation to everyone that will believe. Every person that will receive the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is our number one goal. So our manual is the Scripture. Our message is the Savior. Our motive is salvation. A lot of times our motives, a lot of folks' motives, is to build a giant corporation or to build the largest and the best and the biggest. Our motivation ought to be to lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would hear the message of salvation, and that they can be saved even though they're like Moses. They can be saved even though they're like David. They can be saved even though they're like me, a sinner saved by grace. Thank God tonight, God uses different people. God uses strange people sometimes, strange in our eyes, strange to our customs maybe, strange to our thoughts. But God can use any individual anywhere that He so chooses, if we just will do those three things: have our manual, have our message, have our motivation. May God help us tonight to keep that first and foremost in this new year that we have entered into. And I guess you all noticed that when you got up New Year's Day, the world still went on just like it was. Still just as wicked, still just as bad, still the murders, still all the carnage, and everywhere the same. We're just counting time, and we're headed toward eternity. Let's stand tonight, and we'll be dismissed.